Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the Internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Billy the Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you are out of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is changing mindsets. Each of my three guests will be persuading us to change our mindsets in one way or another. My first guest will show us how the wrong mindset sets us up for failure as executives and as leaders. He's done research to show that we have two selves in competition with each other at all times. The trick is to calm the one self so the other self can take charge. If you want to join the conversation, call us at 639-0008. Richard Daff, PhD, specializes in the study of leadership and organizational theory at the Owen Graduate School of Management at Vanderbilt University, a very prestigious school in the South. Dr. Daff has authored or co-authored 13 books, including Organization Theory and Design and Management. He has also authored dozens of scholarly papers, articles, chapters, etc. His latest book is titled The Executive and the Elephant, A Leader's Guide for Building Inner Excellence. An active teacher and respected consultant, Dr. Daff has served as an associate dean. He's helped manage startup companies, and he's been involved in management development and consulting for numerous organizations. He received his Bachelor of Science from the University of Nebraska, go Huskers, and he got his MBA and his PhD from the University of Chicago, go Liberals. Welcome to the show, Dick. How are you today?
Well, I'm great, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on board. I mean, we love to talk to thought leaders such as yourself, so that is great. So my first question is, just looking at your book, how'd you come up with the title, The Executive and the Elephant? It seems like an odd juxtaposition of two ideas.
The executive represents a person's inner CEO. The brain has two parts. The higher self or the higher mind, I'm calling the executive or this inner CEO that has a big picture, it's objective, it's fairly rational, it can see all sides of an issue, and it knows what to do. The elephant is the part of ourselves that includes the ego, I guess our unconscious impulses, our lifetime habits, the reason it's called the elephant is because it can be so strong. So let's say the doctor tells you to go on a diet.
Okay.
You go home and there's a delicious piece of chocolate cake there. And the higher part knows that you really should pass on that cake. But the elephant, if it's hungry, it's going to have that piece of cake. And so how do you strengthen the executive to manage and control the elephant, which is what the book is about?
And so that's the idea, the genesis behind the title.
Yeah.
There. Now, why did you choose an elephant? I mean, you could have picked a bull. You could have picked any animal that's out there. Why the elephant?
Well, I spent some time in India, and this is a metaphor for the ego in India, in the Hindu and the Buddhist traditions, because of its strength. You know, elephants are relatively gentle. They can be trained, but they are super strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I like that metaphor. I thought it captured it. So that's what I went with.
All righty. All right. So the two selves that you talk about is the higher mind, which you're calling the executive, and for lack of a better term, the lower mind that you're calling the elephant. really discovering our two selves requires different levels of consciousness. And you rely on teachings from a variety of worldviews. You just mentioned that you got the idea from India. Why draw on different cultures, and does this show kind of a universal failure of willpower on the part of leaders?
Well, there is a universal failure of willpower. I mean, it's kind of shocking when you get into it. It's just my natural, the way I operate. I went to India and I learned to meditate and understood some of the Eastern spirituality. And then I came back to the U.S. and I looked into neuroscience and psychology about this idea of the two selves. And it was widely supported. I mean, there's a real common theme there of two selves. And the trick is to gain self-control, is to learn to distinguish these two selves and to empower or to develop and strengthen that higher self, and or what the, I like your term consciousness, the higher consciousness.
The higher consciousness.
The higher consciousness makes a great leader. The elephant is not such a great leader because it often acts out of its own needs, its own self-interest, its own impulses, its own fears. You know, by fear I mean it might avoid something, put it off for weeks or months, something that ought to get done, and that the inner executive wants to do, but will avoid.
All right, that makes sense. We're talking to Dick Daft, everybody, author of the new book, The Executive and the Elephant. We're just getting into it. Now, Dick, one of the things that has been a recurring theme this week for us, several guests have stressed the power of knowing our intentions. We had on Simon Sinek earlier this week, his book, Start With Why. Yesterday, we had on Yoon Cannon. She's a productivity expert, also stressed knowing your intentions. You, too, stress the importance of visualizing and knowing what your intentions are. What do you mean by visualizing and verbalizing your intentions?
Okay, well, intentions come from that higher self, from that inner CEO. And so I agree with the points in those other books. So the elephant will pay attention to a visualization or a self-talk. So I'll give an example.
Okay.
I often work with managers who are, let's say they're on the, they're impulsive on doing email, even if somebody's in their office trying to talk to them, and they want to learn to focus and pay attention. If, before somebody comes into the office, they can just visualize themselves focusing and paying attention to that individual, visualizing, create a picture in their mind. Just, they can imagine themselves behaving in the way they really want to behave. That picture will communicate to the elephant what it is it's supposed to do when somebody comes in to talk, and it makes it much, much easier to carry through on that behavior. The best research on this is in sports psychology, where they found that the visualization of a sports action, like swinging a club or a tennis racket, that is just as effective in many cases as the physical activity. So the mind can really, the pictures in the mind can have dramatic impact on the body and the elephant's willingness and ability to do something. In terms of the self-talk, for me, that is the hidden gem of self-managing. I've worked with a lot of people who, if they will take a simple statement like, I am becoming more confident, or I am becoming more outgoing, or I am delegating more responsibility, whatever it is they are trying to correct in themselves, and repeat that 20 times in the morning and 20 times in the evening as if they mean it. And then maybe on a periodic break during the day when they exercise or when they're driving, within a few days, they find themselves actually behaving in the way that that statement suggests. It's sometimes it's called auto-suggestion or a mantra, but just the continued repetition of a well-crafted mantra can have quite a dramatic impact on a person's ability to manage themselves toward what it is they want to do.
Very interesting. Now, before you get too airy-fairy on us here, Dick, I want to come back to something that you've written in the book. You quote Mahatma Gandhi, again, of India, expressing the importance of basic beliefs. Your beliefs become your thoughts, Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. So you write about changing your frame of reference. You just referred to the mantra of going back and visualizing what it is you say you are. So give us, what is it that you mean about changing your frame of reference? It sounds like it's easy to say, but very hard to do. So help us find some ways to change our frame of references.
Okay, well, frame of reference cuts pretty deep. I mean, psychologists call this the core beliefs. It's the way you view situations and view other people. We might just think in terms of a positive frame of reference and a negative frame of reference. A lot of people I work with are fairly left brain. They're managers. They're analytical. They're not people. And so they tend to see people analytically, often very critically. They tend to find fault rather than appreciation. And so the change in reference is to be able to see people with perhaps a little more compassion, see them as full human beings, and so on. And there are two or three ways to go about this. One is to just learn to ask questions and acquire more data, where if they just will kind of learn about the people, learn about the situation, they can see it more accurately, and their mind won't jump to a negative conclusion that isn't justified. Other exercises I suggest are ones that we've already talked about, like visualizing. Only this time you're not visualizing doing a task, but visualizing the actions toward this person, understanding this person's issues as a, I don't know, negative childhood or whatever else that might have produced this behavior that is so annoying, and becoming more accepting and tolerant. So again, it takes intention, and this intention comes from the inner executive. And with the intention, one can begin to change their mindset and be able to see people through a softer and perhaps more human lens.
I like that. We're talking to Dr. Dick Daft, everybody. He's the author of the book, The Executive and the Elephant, A Leader's Guide for Building Inner Excellence. Dick, we've got to take some time out here to do some business. But when we come back, I'm going to tease the audience with this. You said just a moment ago about making the shift from answering questions as a CEO to asking more questions and how that can change your frame of reference. I want to delve into that a little bit more deeply when we come back from the commercials. Don't answer that now, but after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My special guest this half hour is Dr. Dick Daft. He wrote the book, The Executive and the Elephant. We were discussing about changing our frame, our mindset, our frame of reference before we went away to the commercial break. And now that we're back, Dick, I wanted to ask you about asking questions. Now, in your book, you recommend that executives move from answering questions to asking questions. In fact, you quoted one of my favorite CEOs, Tim Brown, the CEO of IDEO, asking the right question is itself a creative process. So how can one shift from answering questions to asking questions that make a difference in an executive's career?
Well, it takes a little bit of mental effort because, you know, as children, we're rewarded for answering questions and getting the right answer. And even as beginning managers, there's a lot of pressure on having the right answer and being the center of things and being the person who knows what's going on. But by the time you get to the top of the hierarchy, if you're not a question asker, you're not doing anyone a favor. The idea is to guide people's attention and toward developing their own answers. So one way to get at this question asking thing is to adopt a mindset of curiosity and just to become curious about the world, and then questions will flow from that.
No,
sometimes it has to be a little bit more explicit. People might rehearse questions in advance. They might, you know, have notes with them that prompt them to ask questions in certain situations. The trick is, once you get the brain to rehearse and practice asking questions, it'll start to pick it up pretty quickly. But it just takes a bit of a shift, a bit of intention, a bit of preparation before going into a meeting, and the question asking can start to take over.
All right. Well, now, this is an important part. So let's do this. Let's put some picks and shovels into the hands of our listeners. Let's put them to work. And let's do a real-life example, if we could. All right. So let's say I am the CEO of a small company. I've got 25 employees. And for some reason or another, my sales department has not come in and met the numbers for the month of August. So as the CEO, you know, normally I would be giving solutions and telling them what to do and directing them. But help me reframe so that I can ask more questions rather than demand or give more answers.
Well, the first thing to do is to slow down. You know, in that small business setting, with all of the pressures and all of the issues that are coming up, I mean, a CEO is going to fall into the trap of just trying to tell people and trying to react to things that are happening. The first thing is to slow down and to take a step back and to clear your head. I mean, if you have to close that door, shut off that computer or something, and just stop and think. And that's when the question-asking process can start taking over. And then as those questions begin to appear in your mind, go out and deal with the people. And the executive part of the brain is really good at finding cause-effect relationships, while the elephant just wants to get mad. It just wants to judge people as good or bad. Just wants to express its frustration. And it takes a few minutes to get all of that stuff out of your brain so that the right questions can begin to enter and then be expressed. So the thing I often have people do is just take a moment, stop, step back, you know, think, and then get those questions clear, and then move forward and ask people questions.
All right.
Frame of reference.
Now, that's an interesting point, slow down, and I get that. But in your book, you write it's almost a Zen-like or even a Yogi Berra-like way. You say you have to calm down in order to speed up. Now, that sounds contradictory to me. You say you have to sit with our problems before engaging in solutions. What do you mean by that?
Well, people often try to force themselves to do things. And if you've ever experienced that inner struggle, it's very unpleasant, where part of you wants to do something, is trying to force yourself to do it, and another part is resisting. And the stronger you push, the stronger the resistance becomes in order to avoid that push. When the elephant is agitated, when the elephant is upset, when the elephant is afraid, it's very hard to direct it and guide it. So we get a lot better result by calming down and really relaxing. And as the elephant calms down and quiets down, it's much easier to direct. So sometimes it's just a matter of sitting for a couple of minutes. Let's say you're avoiding some task and just sitting there. And as the anxiety drops away and the fear calms down, it's fairly easy to pick up the pencil and start that job you've been avoiding.
Easy to say, Dick, hard to do sometimes. We're talking to Dr. Dick Daft, everybody, by the way, author of the book, The Elephant and the Executive. And like I said, easy to say, harder to do in practice, because people who own their own business or leaders in business are action-oriented. How do we overcome that desire to act rather than sit and meditate and react?
Well, for the most part, the action orientation works. It's only when the small business person finds out that their actions are the wrong actions. They're overreacting, or they're getting mad at somebody. They're causing a bigger mess than what they had originally, simply by not taking a moment. So a lot of that action is fine, but they can usually find some moment in the day to step back and clear their head. Maybe there's a lunch break. Maybe they have to drive in their car. They have to seize those small opportunities and then assert just a little bit of intention from within their mind to step back. So one trick is called STOP.
It's an acronym. What does that stand for?
Step back, think, organize yourself, proceed. I've had some managers who actually build in maybe half a dozen stops during the day. They can have an alarm on their watch, or they can have a sign on their computer screen, or they can put it into their Outlook calendar, and they just use opportunities to kind of step back, clear their head. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Do I have the big picture here? What's the best course of action? And once they clear all of their impulses out, their action impulses, they'll get some ideas about how to act in a more thoughtful and reasoned way that'll have more positive impact on the people around them.
All right, Dick. Now, how long does one of these stop breaks typically have to take? Is it a one-minute thing, a 10-minute thing, a 20-minute thing?
Most people can't stand the 10 minutes. That's too long. But I would say 1 to 3 minutes would usually work. I mean, 1 minute can seem like a lifetime if you're really busy and have a lot of things pressuring you. But let's say 1 to 3 minutes is usually enough to clear your head, reground yourself, see a bigger, clearer, more objective picture, and then proceed on that picture rather than the initial impulses and reactions when you receive bad news.
Gotcha. All right, we're talking to Dr. Dick Daft, everybody, author of the book, The Executive and the Elephant, A Leader's Guide for Building Inner Excellence. So I want to come back and talk about inner excellence, because that's part of the subtitle of your book. What are some of the things that are holding us back from becoming or having inner excellence from all of your research that you've done?
Well, I tell you, everyone has their flaw. And the whole idea of inner excellence is to find that flaw, either to personal effectiveness or to leadership effectiveness, that's holding you back. In one person, it might be micromanagement. In another person, it might be overreacting. In the business world, one of the things I find gets in the way is this critical mindset. We talked about that a bit earlier, where people tend to see everything through a critical lens, and they end up criticizing people rather than appreciating their contribution. And to find some of the techniques from the book that allow them to remove this one flaw, the theory of constraints, I don't want to get too abstract here, but the theory of constraints says that every system has a weak link. Every system has a flaw that if you can remove it or correct it, the whole system will suddenly perform much better. And the same is true of our personalities. If we can find that one thing that's holding us back the most and remove it, then there's a big jump in inner excellence, which will lead to outer excellence, either as a leader or as an individual performer.
All right. Well, let's get some specifics around this, Dick, because I like what you're saying here. And you said, and used as an example, being critical or criticizing people can be a roadblock to inner excellence. So let's just take that one. Give us some ideas, some steps that we can take to get over being super critical.
Well, that's one of the toughest, because it's all internal. And it's a habit of mindset. So the first step is to be able to see it. The inner executive can see the elephant, and when the inner executive is in play, it can see the thought pattern. It can see the habit. It can see the emotion that the elephant is feeling. And so the first step is some modest level of self-awareness. And the next step, it kind of depends on the person. I've had a lot of people who use a more positive-sounding mantra, such as, I am appreciating people more, or I am liking people more. So whenever they see that negative thought, they replace it with a positive thought. And over time, they find that that starts to happen automatically. Whenever they start feeling critical toward someone, that positive thought will jump in and replace it. Remember, we can only hold one thought at a time.
Right.
And so your mind, it's either going to be the thought jumping in there from your elephant, or it can be one that, an intentional thought plugged in there by the inner executive. And so that's a pretty popular one.
I love it. We're talking to Dr. Dick Daft, everybody, author of the book, The Executive and the Elephant. Dick, I have to ask you, what was some of the more surprising or remarkable findings that you got from your research?
I think the thing that surprised me most was this whole idea of lightening up. One of the things that underlies the whole deal is that we tend to take ourselves too seriously, tend to take the work too seriously, and that's when the elephant is most in charge. But when people detach a little bit, everything's not quite so urgent, not quite so serious, not quite so life and death. The inner executive becomes stronger and can direct the elephant, or direct ourselves in a more positive way. I guess the other big insight for me was that there's a little bit of inner focus, a little bit of inward awareness can go an enormous distance if we just become aware of what we're thinking and what we're feeling, and just maybe slow down a little bit or something. But we got to have that inner awareness, and just a little bit of that unlocks the door to self-management, self-control. Because once we see it, then we can do something about it. But so long as we're racing around like crazy and are completely unconscious, we're trapped in the elephant, and it's going to be very hard to get out.
Two very remarkable findings, Dick, from your research that you've encapsulated in the book, The Executive and the Elephant, A Leader's Guide for Building Inner Excellence. Dick, I can't believe we're out of time. It just flies by so quickly. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
You're most welcome. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you down the line.
All right.
All right, great.